want to talk about warning the world is watching, how we Christians treat one another. The world is watching. And we need to be very aware that they are. If Christians cannot extend grace through faithful presence within the body of believers, they will not be able to extend grace to those outside. Basically, he's saying, if you can't make it work at home, don't export it. In line with that, a non-believer wrote and said, I'm not a Christian because of how most of the Christians I've known treat each other, not loving like their founder taught them, but just the opposite. We need to be careful. The world is watching. There's a famous quote by Gandhi, and he wrote, I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ that if it weren't for Christians, I'd be a Christian. The world is watching. And they're watching how we treat one another. But even more importantly, they're watching how we treat them in the world. Because they don't always see how we treat one another because we're within the church and they're not. So I took a look at a graphic which shows how people on Google search for various religions. And this was done by John Saddington, and he actually published his results, and I found them fascinating. So what he looked at was he went to the Google Corporation, whatever the main corporation is that runs Google, and said, when people search for Christian, what are they looking for? When people search for Muslim, what are they looking for? When people search for Buddhist, what are they looking for? And the results are fascinating. So let's pull some of them up. There were 10 things for each that he discovered. First was the Muslims. Why are Muslims so violent? Why are Muslims so stupid? Why are Muslims so angry? Why are Muslims so crazy? Why are Muslims so sensitive? Why are Muslims so hateful? Why are Muslims so intolerant? Why are Muslims so backwards? Why are Muslims so evil? And why are Muslims so extreme? Those were the things that people actually wrote in the search engine, the Google search engine, and trying to find answers to them. Well, they not only did Muslims, but people do the same thing for the Jewish people. Why are Jews so cheap? Why are Jews so successful? It's because God's blessing them, but don't tell anybody. Why are Jews so smart? Why are Jews so rich? Why are Jews so greedy? Why are Jews so annoying? Why are Jews so hated? Why are Jews so ugly? I didn't think they were, but why are Jews so liberal? And why are Jews so funny? A lot of the comedians from way back in the 40s right through to today are actually Jewish, and they are funny. So the third religion that John looked at was Christians. Why are Christians so stupid? Why are Christians so judgmental? Why are Christians so ignorant? Why are Christians so hateful? Why are Christians so intolerant? Why are Christians so mean? Why are Christians so narrow-minded? I always want to answer that one. We are narrow-minded because we're right. Amen. Jesus is the only way into heaven. Why are Christians so hypocritical? Why are Christians so annoying? And why are Christians so crazy? Okay, last one. They looked up Buddhists. And there's only one. Why are Buddhists so happy? I don't know Buddhists, so I don't know. Or I may know a Buddhist and not know they're Buddhist, but when you take all of those results and put them up as a diagram, the graphic shows that some of them are common to all of the religions, and that there are some serious stereotypes that we Christians are up against. When people say Christian, they think this. And so when we're going out to tell people about Jesus, we have to overcome these stereotypes. Before we even start to do anything, we have to overcome what they already think about us, which is not positive. If you want to go back one, those are not too positive. Amen? Which is okay. We need to know where we're at. We need to know what the world thinks about us, or doesn't. So you put them in a graphic, and you come up with this. All I've done is put those words into circles. Sorry, I correct that. I didn't put them in. My daughter did. I don't know how to do this on a computer. And so you'll see that there's an overlap, that Muslims and Christians are both thought to be crazy, hateful, intolerant, and stupid. So we have some things in common. With the Jews, the only thing we have in common are that we are annoying. And the Buddhists are having a good time down the corner all by themselves. Nobody's bothering them, and they're not bothering anybody. The trouble is, those stereotypes are often painfully true. Amen? They are in my life. They're probably in your life. It's not uncommon, if you're on Facebook, to watch Christians throwing insults at each other publicly on Facebook or on Instagram or on Kick or on Viber or on whatever. There are so many of them now. And Christians throw these verbal assaults at one another on Facebook, on blogs, on Twitter. And as a result, the world sees people who profess to follow Jesus, the Prince of Peace, fighting and misrepresenting one another, even blocking one another. Did you know you can block people on your Facebook? That was the greatest discovery of my life about a year ago, that I can go on and get rid of all the annoying people and get off of their news feed as well. I'm not saying we can't disagree with each other. What I am saying is the way we disagree with each other is very important. We need to be doing it in the spirit of Jesus Christ. He didn't agree with everybody. Everybody didn't agree with him. We can have healthy and helpful debates and discussions and disagreements. But when we descend to the point of publicly fighting, it's not good. And that's how we end up with these stereotypes that we need to overcome. Personal attacks that are moved out into public domains are not good. I'm not saying we can't disagree. I'm not saying we shouldn't discuss things. Even everybody didn't agree with Jesus, by the way. So if you're expecting everybody to agree with you, you're on another planet. The net result is that the name of Jesus gets tarnished in a big way. And we need to change that. The second big result is that evangelism is almost impossible. Telling other people about Jesus when we don't live like Jesus is not working. And that's one of our biggest problems in every nation that I work in, that we need to overcome all of these stereotypes even before we start to talk about Jesus. So here are 7 points that I want you to consider the next time you think you have a disagreement with another Christian, or you're tempted to gossip. Gossip. Gossip is the acceptable Christian sin. Not to God, but it seems to be acceptable to everybody else because we all do it, me included. And gossip often moves into slander, either by speaking or writing about a person. So there are 7 very simple steps, and we're just going to do them one at a time. Number one, tell me if it doesn't change, please. All right, you go to them privately and ask them what they meant by what they said. What did they mean by what they did or wrote? Or what they allegedly said, did, or wrote? Because often we hear about things secondhand, and if you go back to the first hand, it's totally different because you now have the context. You now have what was really said, not what was allegedly said, or what was said but has now got a different edge to it. So Jesus says that we're to go to our brothers or our sisters in private when we have an issue with them, because we don't want to misrepresent Jesus or our brothers or sisters in public. And going to them directly helps to prevent that. And you'd want the same treatment if the shoe happened to be on the other foot. Amen? Jesus has this golden rule. I don't know who called it that originally, but it's do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So always put yourself in the other person's place and think about how they're going to feel, because that's what you're supposed to do. So a pastor writes, 6 months ago, I was reading someone's Facebook wall where they quoted a friend of mine who came out with a new book on evangelism. The entire thread of the discussion on Facebook was about what my friend may have meant or didn't mean. People got angry at one another. Some began blocking the others. These are Christians talking to Christians, mind you. Finally, a woman jumped into the discussion on the wall and wrote, "Excuse me, but instead of questioning what he may have meant or didn't mean, why don't you just write him a message and ask him? He's on Facebook, you know." And her remark on the Facebook page arrested everybody. You could almost smell how embarrassed everybody was. If they had done so in the beginning, the whole issue that became very public about a book, about something he might have meant, but really didn't mean, or could have meant, would have not even begun. So we just go direct. It helps. Number two, when you go to another believer privately, ask them questions. Don't make accusations. Yes? It flipped. No, there you go. Number two, thank you. When you go to another believer privately, ask them questions. Don't make accusations. I messed this one up. I have to be really honest. I don't do well with this because I build up a head of steam. And then when I get to talk to the person, and I know this isn't your problem, when I get to talk to the person, I usually make an accusation. So I'm preaching to myself. Again, the golden rule. Put yourself in their shoes and ask yourself, how would I want to be treated if this person was me and I had a concern or a possible problem with them? Usually, accusations are based on second or third hand information. Usually, accusations are inaccurate and they're often rooted in misunderstandings. They're not done on purpose. We don't hurt each other on purpose, I hope. One time Jesus made a statement about one of his followers. Here's what he said. Talking to all of his apostles, he said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You follow me." And because of that remark, a rumor spread amongst the disciples that the disciple Jesus was referring to would never die. Jesus didn't say that the disciple would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, that's none of your business. So Jesus, the perfect teacher, has been misunderstood by those who are listening to him. And if it can happen to him, it can happen to us. Amen? Okay, number three. Never judge the motives or the intentions of another human being. You can't know people's intentions. God does. And when we judge a person's motives or their intentions, we are sinning against them and against God. We can't read another person's heart. You don't know my heart. I don't know your heart. You can question someone's judgment. You can examine someone's fruit in their life, but you can't judge their motives because you don't know them. And that's why Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, love thinks no evil. Always believes the best of others. Again, That's covered under Jesus' gold-plated rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You still with me? Simple, isn't it? It's called Relationships 101. I think they don't teach it somewhere. Number four, never entertain gossip or slander about another sister or brother. In fact, I'd expand that and say, just don't listen to slander or gossip about anybody. Treat people the way you'd want them to treat you. Jesus not only commanded this, he said that this command fulfills the law and the prophets. That's Matthew 7, verse 12. Here's the problem. If you were to ask another Christian, tell me what the definition of gossip, biblically definition of gossip is, they can't tell you. Go one step further and say, what's the definition, the biblical definition of slander? They can't tell you. They mistakenly would tell you that if something is true or even half true, it's not gossip, it's not slander. And that's not true. That's not so. And there's a guy who I've never met, but I would like to. His name is John Zenz. And he wrote a remarkable article back in 1998. Gee, that's ancient history, isn't it? And I posted it on my website, so if you ever want to read it, it's 3 pages, takes 8 minutes to read if you're a slow reader like I am. And he basically says, here is the most ignored sin, and it's gossip. And he defines gossip and slander. You'll be amazed at how often we do both, and we think we're okay. So don't entertain gossip or slander. When somebody is about to talk about someone else who's not there, you should hear something in your spirit. And here's what you should hear in your spirit. Beep, 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 beep. It's the sound of a garbage truck backing up and about to dump its garbage on you. So don't listen to it. Number five, seek peace with all you have. In fact, Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. We're not going to agree with everyone, and we're not going to agree about everything. In fact, if you put three Christians together in a Bible study, they won't even agree on the passage you're studying. None of us should be closed to correction, closed to adjustment. We should all realize that our perception of truth is not perfect. You may think you're right, but you may not be. Now, some of you won't get this, but none of us have immaculate perception. That's an inside church joke. So we need to be open, and we need to go to people, because how we treat one another when we disagree is more important than even what we're disagreeing on. Number six, remember that the world is watching how we Christians treat one another and talk about one another. We're stuck, David, please. We'll get it fixed. You can be the greatest evangelist in the world, always sharing Jesus with everybody you meet. But if you're not loving people and dealing with issues, then you're not going to win anyone to the Lord. You can blow the loudest trumpet about missions and discipleship you want, but if we treat each other poorly, the world will notice and nullify all of your sharing, nullify all of your evangelistic efforts. On top of that, how we treat each other is monumentally important to the Lord. Okay, number seven, and last one. Remember Jesus' last prayer on earth before he gave his life for us. Some of you are looking, wondering, what was that prayer? When you remember the last prayer Jesus prayed for us, those of us who would be his followers, before he died on the cross, it will show you what is foremost and most important in his heart. And here's the prayer. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray for also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. When I read that, researching this, my first thought was, oh God, have mercy on me. My second thought was, oh God, have mercy on us. So here's my definition of gossip, for what it's worth. Let me tell you how I found it. I work in a church in Ohio. I'm not the only apostle that works there. There's two of us, one from Columbus and myself. And I'm the guy who shovels the tough stuff, and he's sort of the pastoral, we'll worry about it and deal with it later person. It's neat. We work well together. I'll be talking to him tomorrow about the church again. We have a pastor in this church that I'm working with who is good friends with the pastor, assistant pastor, with an assistant pastor in his church. And they're talking to each other, and he shares something with the assistant pastor in this other pastor's church. And so the young fella comes to Dwayne, the guy I work with, and says, I know something that I really need to share with you, but I'm concerned that it's gossip. But it's going to impact the other church if it's not dealt with. And Dwayne looked at his assistant and said, if you're not part of the problem or not part of the solution, then it's gossip. That's the best definition of gossip. Maybe it's because I'm simple, but that's the best definition of gossip I've ever heard. If you're not part of the problem or you're not part of the solution, shut up and get out of the middle. Don't get involved. It's none of your business. And as it was, he ended up part of the solution, so he shared what the issue was. It came to me, we dealt with it, and everything came out smelling like roses, at least once. Amen. It's nice to get a win in on the scoreboard. So if you're not part of the problem and you're not part of the solution, don't talk about it, because then it's becoming gossip. And gossip goes downhill very quickly and becomes slander. And again, a website article, it happens to be called the most ignored sin. It's up there already. You can have a look at it. My daughter put it up this morning. So I'm in a discussion last night. And in that discussion, we have four teenagers and 12 adults in my front room, and we're just sitting around talking about gossip. And it quickly veered from gossip to being, well, we just have to be positive. Don't talk about anything negative. And I thought, no, you've just changed the subject altogether. Because even if you're talking something positive, accurate, correct, it can still be gossip. Gee, Moses sends the spies into the promised land, and they come back, and 10 of them say, yep, this is what the land is like, big cities, fortified cities, people are really tall, you know, and they give an accurate report of what they discovered as spies. And God called it an evil report. But it was all true, but it wasn't in line with the way God saw things. And Caleb and Joshua saw it, same thing, but their report was, we can take the land because God said we could. So it's not stay away from all the negative stuff, because even the positive stuff, the true stuff, can be gossip. So the issue is really not the information. The issue is, why are you sharing it? That's the issue. Why are you talking about it in the first place? So our message, that God loves everyone, and the songs were right in line with all of that, is not being heard until we personally overcome those 10 negative impressions. And I want to go back to them just to show them to you again. I should have put them at the end, and I'm sorry I didn't. we have these 10 negative impressions, which overlap with other religions, but there they are. Until we overcome the perception that we are stupid, narrow-minded, judgmental, arrogant, we're not going to go anywhere. And one of the ways that we will actually overcome these is to start watching gossip and slander, being careful what we're listening to, and more importantly, careful what we're repeating. Amen? It doesn't mean it's always negative. It can be a positive thing. But why are you? What's the motive? Why are you doing this? And I think if we could overcome that, we, please note, I didn't say you, I said we. If we could overcome that, we would go a long way to impacting and influencing people for Jesus. Okay, good. Bow your heads with me. That's as simple as I can get it. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that there is a golden rule, and it is that we are to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And so I ask that you would help us to watch what we listen to and watch what we say. More importantly, watch what we repeat. And that we would always check our motive for what we're saying, what we're doing, and why we're doing it. Help us to overcome the stereotypes that Google is pointing out to us. Help us to overcome the way people see us as believers. Help us to learn how to love, not just one another, because that's not as hard as it sounds, but help us to learn how to express your love to those that do not know you yet, who have all of these stereotype impressions about who we are. We thank you that your love never fails, and if we will learn to love those who think that we have all these problems, that we will overcome these stereotypes and have an opportunity to share Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom with them. So I pray that you would help us to guard our hearts and guard our minds so that we would only speak truth and that we'd only speak it when it's necessary so that we're not gossiping about other people. Help us not to slander. Help us not to gossip, so that the world will know that we are Christians by our love for each other and for them. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.